7 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Wednesday. It's What About a Wednesday? You got something you need to get off your chest. Airing of grievances. Today is the day to do it. Is it just me, or it feels very biased at times with the ESPN telecast of the Avs Jets? And I get it, the whiteout thing's cool. I know you love Butchie, John Butchgrass.
Mm-hmm.
There are times I just feel like him and whoever he's doing color with, they just are slobbering all over Winnipeg all the time. Just feels that way to me. And I don't want to be that way because I like Butchgrass. I like Butchie.
Yeah, I...
just feels like they slobber all over Winnipeg.
To me, it wasn't as bad as the Frozen Four. I didn't pick up on it as much last night.
Game one was more that way.
But the Frozen Four was bad. When the color guy is saying we,
that's bad.
Talking about Boston University, that's bad.
And I get
it. I didn't feel it that much so far in this series.
Yeah, I just...
nothing jumps out at me.
It's like the going out and visiting with the fans outside all the time. I don't know. It just feels... I agree with you.
It's hard to find Avs fans in.
I know. It just feels...
I get it.
Yeah. I agree. The Frozen Four thing was worse. When you start saying we, supposed to be doing a neutral broadcast. Yeah. And like we've talked about, we're not big fans of we anyway, regardless of the circumstance.
Right.
Just feels that way at times. I don't know.
I haven't picked up on it, but also last night I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot. That late start's not always fun.
Yeah, I watched.
But hey, it's on. I could watch it.
I watched into the second period, listened to, of course, Connor do it as well.
I heard him take the lead and then I Blackhawk down.
And just feeling. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
The thing that gets me more is I would like to be able to watch the game under whatever brain concept Kendrick Perkins watches the game when he feels that, boy, Reggie Miller really wants the Nuggets to win. Hold on a sec. Like, what exactly are you referencing? Because there's nothing from Reggie in game two that I picked up that was like, wow, he's all over the Nuggets tonight. Like, this is great. These guys want our guys to win. There was nothing I saw there or heard there that it's like...
that's Kendrick Perkins.
Wow. That's true. Remember Kendrick Perkins last year, if you thought Nikola Jokic is the MVP, you're racist. So it may not necessarily be that somebody is loving the Nuggets. He may just not like them because somebody doesn't hate the Nuggets. And Kendrick wants the Lakers to win too, by the way. So that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But like, I would love to be able to watch a game with that level of delusion.
If you're not familiar with what we're talking about here, that Kendrick Perkins on X wrote Reggie Miller rooting for Denver something, and then use the Lord's name. We'll just call it that.
And that's
I didn't get that Reg was biased. I didn't either. I didn't get that.
Who knew?
Because nobody seems to know what he's talking about here.
Like, awful announcing. This would be a great gig to have, by the way. Look at the timestamp on X and then go back and watch the game from that point again. It's like, all right. Reggie was saying what the Nuggets needed to do to overcome this deficit. What exactly you would expect the game analyst to do.
Yeah, was it Kevin Harlan? Was it his excitement?
He's
supposed to be excited. He's the play-by-play guy.
And if you can't tell Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan apart,
you got a problem.
Yeah.
You got a huge problem.
Major.
I don't
know what he's trying to get after. That's my why this morning.
Here's my thought about it. Kendrick Perkins, the thing you referenced, the MVP voting, the accusations of racism, when Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid.
Yeah. If you think Nikola Jokic is the MVP, you're racist.
Yeah. You're racist. All that that came out. That it feels like now there's like a vendetta. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of I'm still gonna justify what I said here a couple of years ago. Yeah. I'm gonna find a way to back that up, or I'm gonna find things that I can go at and, the Nuggets about, or Nuggets yeah. adjacent things like Miller and how he talked about the game the other night.
Sometimes I like Perk, but man, he makes it really, really hard to like him universally.
I used to have no problem with him until the Nikola Jokic MVP, if you vote for mm-hmm. him, you're a racist thing. I didn't really have he was a non-factor in my NBA analysis viewing. It was like, okay, I never thought he like was that great. I never thought he was great, but I never thought, he never just made me go, oh, God, I can't stand this guy.
Before then, he was very lightly amusing. Now it's just like, all right, you're
just a crap talker. He's just a crap talker.
Like, but that's the problem, and that's a greater whine maybe for a different day. Who knows? That's the problem with what ESPN has become, is the analyst who just analyzes is the dying breed, and the I need to have a hot take about everything. I need to have a controversial opinion about every single thing.
Why can I get to the
embrace
socials?
Embrace debate.
Yep.
That sort of thing. Like, you're not going to get to the highest platform of this industry, which is ESPN, just by saying, you know what? Both players do good things.
Yeah. There's a couple good teams out there. Here's their strengths. Here's their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Here's who I kind of think will win based on my opinion.
Right. I just...
But it's always respectful of, for the most part, of the other team, even if you're not thinking they're going to win. And
just bothersome. Right.
But Perkins also, like you said, he just slobbers all over the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna crack on Reg on that?
Like, bro, I thought you hated LeBron.
If you go through his post, Perkins' post, seems like he would really like the Lakers to win. And it's like, so you're mad because you made a stupid comment in the MVP voting involving Nikola Jokic, and so now you're ticked, you're mad because everybody got on you and called you a moron and an idiot and chastised you.
Now you're mad at Reggie Miller because he's doing the series in which is going to make you look like an idiot.
Because the Nuggets
Lakers get swept.
Because the Nuggets are up 2-0.
Yeah,
Lakers are going to get swept, and you're going to look like a damn fool again.
Year in a row. Death, taxes, Kendrick Perkins looking like an idiot.
Yeah. Few have gone from being just, okay, not a bad guy, don't have a lot to think about, too. Just an absolute jerk.
Charles Barkley is controversial. But at least Charles Barkley is... There's something else there. Chuck doesn't even seem likable just because of the way he is. But there are other times where with Chuck, you're like... Okay. He says some stuff where you're like... Damn, that's going to piss some people off, but he's right.
But he's right about that. There's just something about Barkley that doesn't... There's a little more like a wink. A little bit. Now he knows he's going to probably make you mad.
He doesn't feel disingenuous like Perkins does.
Perkins feels like he's just... Chuck feels like he says it because that's how Chuck feels.
Yes.
And if it makes you mad, he's...
So be it.
He's not really that sorry about it.
Right.
With Perkins, it's like, what can I say to make somebody mad? What can I say about, like, anything now with the Nuggets? Because he ended up looking like a damn fool.
Right.
What he said. And now it's anything that involves the Nuggets. It's like, I'm going hard at this.
Going all in because Joker's just getting better.
Chuck never feels like he has an axe to grind specifically about some. If he doesn't like something you did, or he says that and he moves on. And if you do something good later, he also says, hey, that was, you know, the player redeemed himself. That was a great, you know, that was a great game that he had. And he's never feels like I've got an axe to grind every single time this thing comes up or this team or this player.
Chuck feels secure.
Yeah. He's Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Like, he's on the dream team. And he will always be on the dream
Kendrick
team.
Kendrick Perkins.
Is a ring getter from the 08 Celtics.
Yeah.
That's as close as he gets to it.
He was a collaborator, contributor.
Hey, contributor. That was a pretty nails team in front of him.
Yeah, so he was a contributor.
He was a passenger.
He contributed by... He had warmed the bench up for somebody.
That's true. He started 78 games that year.
Yeah, I mean, so he contributed. Mm-hmm. He wasn't star player, but played a role for them.
But when you're behind Rajon Rondo...
Yeah.
...on usefulness...
Yeah. When I say contribute, we all contribute something.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that we're prime time. Doesn't mean that we're...
He made sure the trees were working.
Yeah.
Turning that CO2 into oxygen.
But...
or something. Science teacher's coming after me this morning.
But getting back to last night's game with the Avs, they need Georgiev to snap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
First goal, you're going, here we go.
Oh yeah!
Here we go.
Oh, and
then,
for sure.
Then when the Avs had the 4-minute PK, mm-hmm. and they only got like one shot and goal, you're going, oh geez, here we go. This is not good. And that second period, Miles Wood face off, boom, goal, and then all of a sudden, they were off to the races in the second period last night. And Georgiev played well. They played well in front of him for the majority of that game. There wasn't the mistakes, the breakdowns that you saw in game one
mm-hmm.
by the defensive core and by Georgiev. They got after Hellebuck again. Hellebuck's got to feel a little bit. I mean, he gave up 6 goals in game one. They were lucky that they scored 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night...
Gave up the 4, fifth one. He wasn't even there. That doesn't count.
Right.
But still, 10 goals in 2 games for the guy that's best in the league.
Yeah, you're...
He is. I'm just being a tool.
Pretty much ink him in for the Vezina.
Yeah.
But that's got to have him rattled.
A little bit.
And last night, it wasn't Makar, McKinnon, Rantanen.
It was Parise. The down roster scoring.
Yeah, it's all the down roster. It's all
Josh
the lower tier lines.
Miles Wood.
I mean, Nichushkin's
Mr. Excitement.
One of their top guys, but mm-hmm. still everybody else, though. How about Miles Wood? Couple goals?
Yeah.
In these first 2 playoff games for Miles Wood? But they needed Georgie to get his crap together.
Yeah.
And after that first goal, they all kind of got their crap together a little bit. Even like I said, they failed mm-hmm. to do anything with that 4-minute PK opportunity or power play opportunity. Give Winnipeg credit for killing that. That was a 4-minute power play.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right. Avs were up 2-1, but still, when they killed off all 4, you're like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. This is out. Miles Wood was the peak of the Avalanche offensive night, and then they hammer home 3 in a span of 5 minutes in the second. You're like, all right, we're good here. Just got to hold on to a 2-goal lead as you go to the third period. And Arturi Lekkinen and Mr. Excitement just a fight away from the Gordie Howe hat trick. Maybe he can get that completed next time around.
Maybe so.
Had the goal, had the assists. But he's got 2. Nichushkin's got 2. But you're right. It is the down roster scoring. Zach Parise, Manson getting in there.
Manson kind of atoning for the mistake he made in game one.
He's scrappy a little bit. Duhaime, like, just stay out of the penalty box. You don't need to score. You don't need to assist. Just stay on the ice. Brandon, I don't need 4 penalty minutes in the third period. Like, that's making it a little bit too
Jones had
squirrely.
Kind of a bad penalty last night.
Yeah.
And that put him in a bad spot. They had to kill off a penalty.
That was a nothing burger, too.
Like, yeah.
That was a bad call more than anything else. The dude kind of fell over.
Kind of slipped and fell,
Caleb
man.
Caleb Jones was just kind of there. The ref went Hunter Wendelstadt on it. It's like, well, somebody's got to go. He fell over. Well,
yeah.
He fell over on his own.
I don't disagree with that, but it still puts him in a bad spot. And
But
it was, I don't know. There
was a soft call,
I'm not as much of a soft call on it as...
Yeah.
There was some contact there, but he also slipped and fell down, which
exacerbated. When he's on the ice, if you're going to get called, just whack him with your stick.
Yeah.
You know, get your money's worth if you're Caleb Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the most egregious penalty in check because he was starting to fall down.
Just give him a little whack. If I'm going to the box, I might as well earn it.
But 28 saves last night for Alexander Georgiev. They needed him to get it pulled together, and he did last night.
Yeah, he got his you-know-what figured out at least for one night.
And when Wood scored on the faceoff, I mean, the Avalanche aren't great at that. They're not great at winning faceoffs. These are two of the worst teams in the NHL in terms of winning faceoffs. That was
somebody's got to win them.
Yeah, so somebody's got to win it, and that was a big one that, you know, they got it tied up, and then, of course, the four-goal second period, the difference last night is the Avalanche won it 5-2, and we'll have Game 3 coming up Friday night right here on the team. All right, Nate Porter, Palisade baseball coach, will join us. Easton Embry for the Bulldogs yesterday. No hits. The Durango Demons. So
nice.
We'll talk with the coach of the Palisade Bulldogs. They have Rifle tonight in Western Slope League play. We'll have that game right here on the Team Sports Network. We'll have that conversation coming up. And Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, will join us in studio later on this hour. All right, it's time for
What's Happening?
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology partner. One call, one team, one goal, helping your business grow. They support and secure your business technology consistently and professionally. As your technology partner, ComWest maximizes your investment and ensures your office technology is working efficiently, giving you peace of mind so you can focus on growing your business. IT services to meet your business needs, PC and server support, business phone systems, surveillance, network support, cybersecurity backup and disaster recovery. They can help you with all those needs so you can focus on what you need to focus on, which is growing your business. They serve the Western Slope. Call them today, ComWest, 970-242-8142, or go to comwestcorp.com. All right, get some music for me there. Get things off. Thank you very much. So the Avalanche last night in Winnipeg taking on the Jets. Game 2 of their first round Western Conference playoff series, and the Avalanche erupted for 4 goals in the second period as Colorado defeated the Jets 5-2 in Winnipeg Tuesday night. The Jets scored in the first on a David Gustafson goal, only to see the Avs get red hot in the second. Colorado's Miles Wood tied the game with his goal, which led to goals from Arturi Lehkonen, Zach Parise, Josh Manson, and Vlari Nichushkin. After giving up 7 goals in Sunday's loss in the opener, Avs goalie Alexander Georgiev settled in after giving up the first period goal. He made 28 saves in the win. As Colorado evens the series, the game apiece, Avs star Nathan MacKinnon liked what he saw in Game 2.
Well, we followed up on what we did in Game 1. You know, not as many big breakdowns, I guess. But yeah, Georgiev was great. You know, I thought every line contributed. Every line did contribute, I'm pretty sure. So, fun game.
Game 3 is Friday night in Denver, pregame at 7:30 on the Team Sports Network. Brendan Rodgers' Grand Slam lifted the Colorado Rockies to a 7-4 win over San Diego Tuesday night at Coors Field. Rodgers' fifth inning Grand Slam was the first of his career as Colorado's bullpen delivered 5 scoreless innings of relief. Game 3 of the series is tonight in Denver. Denver Broncos made a move that most thought they wouldn't, exercising the fifth-year option on all-pro cornerback Patrick Surtain II. Surtain had 69 tackles and 12 pass breakups this last season. He's set to make $6.6 million with $3.5 million guaranteed this season, but his 2025 salary of $19.8 million will be fully guaranteed. Denver is the 12th pick in the first round of tomorrow night's draft in Detroit. The Colorado High School Activities Association has voted to officially recognize girls' flag football as a varsity sport. CHAS's Legislative Council voted to sanction flag football as a varsity sport with 2 classifications for the sport in its first season. The sport is the 33rd varsity sanctioned sport in Colorado and the 18th such sport for girls in the state. Denver Broncos and CHAS will hold a press conference this morning to address the media on girls' flag football. Broncos have been very involved in growing girls' flag football. CHAS Legislative Council also voted to approve a shot clock for boys and girls varsity basketball starting in 2026-2027. Grand Junction I baseball team went from being no-hit by central pitcher Rylan Nostrand to rallying to pick up a 2-1 win over the Warriors Tuesday night at the Diamond of the Bergman Sports Complex. Nostrand no-hit the Tigers, who 5 2/3 and gave up 2 runs on 2 hits with 10 strikeouts. Grand Junction got a man on with Clayton Scarborough's walk, followed by Sean Witt's single. Will Applegate's double drove in both runners to give the Tigers a lead in the eventual win. Grand Junction's Titus Forsyth struck out 7 Central hitters and surrendered 1 run on 4 hits of the walk and hit batter in 6 innings. Andrew Henderson came on to pick up 2 strikeouts to get the win. The Warriors' Lewis Kuntz went 3-for-3 with a run scored as Central drops to 8-8. They're 0-3 in the Southwestern League. Grand Junction's won 5 straight. They sit at 11-6 overall, 4-1 in league. The two teams play again on Friday. Palisade pitcher Easton Embry tossed a no-hitter as the Bulldogs baseball team blanked Durango 11-0 in 5 innings Tuesday night at Saplesio Field. The junior struck out 8 demons in 5 innings and walked 3 for Palisade. Embry also had a huge night at the plate, going 2-for-2 with 4 RBIs along with a run scored and a walk. The Bulldogs' Kian Kinslow scored 3 times and drove in 2 runs as Palisade moves to 13-4-1 this season. The Bulldogs face Rifle tonight in Western Slope League play at Saplesio. The team will have the game starting at 5:45. And the Grand Junction girls lacrosse team improved to 8-4 after dumping Summit 16-5 at Canyonview Tuesday. The Tigers' Maddie DeGeorge scored 6 goals, with Mike and Neville scoring 4 times. DeGeorge has 44 goals this season, with Neville second at 33. Tigers played Aspen Friday before getting back into Mountain League play when they faced Fruit of Monument on Tuesday. Grand Junction leads the Mountain League with a 6-1 record. And that's a look at
what's happening.
Brought to you by ComWest, your technology service partner. If you need IT help for your business, call ComWest today at 970-242-8142 or go to comwestcorp.com. Palisade baseball coach Nate Porter joins us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Stay by the radio.
You're listening to the Jim Davis Show on the Team, 101 FM, 1340 AM, Grand Junction. It's Palisade baseball coach Nate Porter on the Team.
And Bulldogs coach Nate Porter brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Nate Porter joins us on the team line. Nate, good morning. Always great to chat with you.
Good morning, Jim. Pleasure's mine.
Congratulations on the win over Durango last night, 11-0. And take me through the outing Easton Embry had. You win it by the run rule. It goes to 5 innings, but tosses a no-hitter. That's, I don't care how many innings it is, that's an incredible accomplishment for any pitcher to go out and deliver a no-hitter.
No, it sure is. Yeah, he's made some adjustments mentally, and that's all it was for him. The physical skills he has are not the issue when it comes to throwing that well, you know, quite often. But he's really struggled coming out of the bullpen in the first inning, warming up, and then or coming out of, you know, into the game. And went to him a couple weeks ago or last week, and I said, hey, why don't you try and pitch your first inning in the before the game in the bullpen, face 3 hitters, and then you're kind of in your second inning when it's really the first. And, you know, I don't know if it resonated with him or not, but he came out first pitch strike, and that's always a good sign when your pitcher can throw first pitch strike. So he did exceptionally well, had control of both fastball, curveball. I walked 3 guys in 5 innings. Which is his best outing, struck out, I think, 8. But was just, you know, nobody made solid contact. He was throwing hard and he was hitting a spot. So I'm very, very proud of him.
But whatever you told him, whatever, it's like you said, just, you know, go in the bullpen and let's make the first inning your bullpen inning, and then you come out and the first inning's actually your second inning. That seemed to work last night, and obviously the bats backed him up, plenty of run support. Yeah, that 5-run fifth inning, Nate, that they really put the game away against Durango so you could win by the run rule.
Yeah, they hit really well. They had good approaches at the plate. I think we had 2 backwards Ks, which, you know, the kids constantly are always working on. They get a little frozen sometimes on off speed, but they're getting better at it. And the fun thing is Easton actually hit the game-winning hit or the walk-off hit for the 10-run rule, so he secured his no-hitter his last at-bat. So it was kind of neat to see. I told him, hey, why don't you get us out of here and get a base hit, we'll score 2 and go home, and he did.
Yeah, a little Shohei Ohtani kind of thing there, with pitch to victory, get a no hitter, and then drives in 4 and drives in the run that wins it by the run rule. So yeah, Easton with a big game last night, couple of hits, drove in 4 runs, and then you also had a guy that's been an extremely consistent, productive bat all season long, Kian Kinslow. He scored 3 runs for you last night, had a couple of ribbies, did a nice job as he always does for you, Nate, at the plate.
Yeah, Kian's a good hitter. When he trusts himself, he's a hard out. Yeah, I was proud of Kian. Defensively, he does well, which he made a catch down the right field line over by the cover, the rolled cover, that was just a tough play, kind of over the shoulder catch. So he's been one of our, definitely one of our, I don't want to star player, but he's been a catalyst for us, for sure.
Palisade Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter with us on the Team Sports Network. And Nate, you have Rifle over at Saplesio tonight, so another game over at Sam Saplesio Field. And you look at where you're at in the Western Slope League. This is your last year. We've talked about it quite a bit. But you've won 35 straight league games. And that streak on the line tonight when you take on Rifle, Troy Phillips and his team. And always good rivalry with the Rifle Bears. But I know you're the kind of coach, and you coach the kind of players that don't think a whole lot, I'm sure, about something like a 35-game winning streak in league play.
No, because, you know, anything can happen any day. And, I mean, streaks are nice, but sometimes there can also be a crutch to you. And it can be kind of a stress factor. So I told the kids, you know, we kind of had to put a stamp on who we are. We're starting to get, I feel like, a little bit of a reputation for being a really good program that plays the game the right way and plays hard. And I said, you know, teams from the Eastern Slope are calling me occasionally talking about next year and about playing next year and getting on the schedule. And so I said, you got to prove it. You got to keep playing good, and you can't take off days, because good teams win, but great teams put stamps on things. So they came out yesterday. I was very proud of them. And, you know, we're obviously excited to play Rifle. And, you know, Troy does a pretty good job with his kids. And so I think it's going to be a good game.
And of course, yesterday at Durango, future Southwestern League opponent next season, Rifle tonight. And when I talk about the 35-game winning streak in Western Slope League play, it's an impressive streak. It's incredible, but it also kind of speaks to why you want to move to the Southwestern League, does it not?
It absolutely does. You know, I told we had a young kid come out to practice the other day, and I told his dad, because he had asked about that, and I said, well, we're 67-2 since I've been at Palisade for the Western Slope League. And he goes, man, that's incredible. That's great. And I said, well, not really, because you learn a lot more from your losses and your tough games than you do your blowouts. And so I'm excited to play. The fruit is every year where they always year in and year out have a really good team, and they're going to make you play well, or they're going to beat you. Same with Junction and Montrose and, you know, Central, Yost, or Kellerby, Joe's doing a great job over there with those kids right now. They're winning some games. So I think it's good for our program, and I'm excited about it.
Nate Porter coached the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team with us, and Rifle tonight over at Saplesio, as we referenced. And as you get back into the Western Slope League play, Logan Gross is going to play baseball and football at Colorado Mesa. He's their top arm, their top bat as well, hitting .610 right now. Got a couple of home runs to lead them. Braden Duncan's hitting .447 for Troy Phillips right now as well. As a team, they're hitting .290. But those two guys, Gross and Duncan, are the guys that kind of really lead the way for them offensively.
Yeah, and you just got to be smart how you pitch to them. You know, you don't want to give them too good something over the plate. Logan can hit. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he hit really well against this last game, and he's obviously their star player, and so we just. But I've got a lot of confidence in Garrett Draper. Garrett's throwing lights out for us this year, and he's going to get the start on the bump today. And he throws a lot of strikes, and he's always around the zone. So I think he gives us a really good opportunity to win.
Yeah, 12-2 victory the last time you faced Rifle in Western Slope League play, and that was a game that that Easton Embry picked up the victory in that one for the Bulldogs. And Logan Gross saw time on the mound, certainly in that one, along with Bjorstrom for Rifle. So with scouting report from last time, you went at 12-2. What are some things you'd like to maybe clean up a little bit tonight when you take on the Bears?
Every game's kind of the same for me when it comes to what we're working on, and that's being aggressive early in the count, having a really good two-strike approach. I think something every coach in high school battles with a little bit. You know, our defense has been good. I've been impressed with it. I've been impressed with our pitching. But I just think that being aggressive early in the count, and if you get down, you know, two strikes, just battling like you're going to war, and just put it in play and see what happens.
All right, we'll have that game tonight. Dave Yonke will join me for that one over at Sam Saplesio Field. Our coverage starts at 5:45 tonight for high school baseball on the team, Palisade in Western Slope League play, taking on Rifle right here on the Team Sports Network. Nate, I appreciate it. We'll see you at the park tonight.
All right, thanks, Jim. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. Nate Porter, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team. They've won 35 straight in league play, which, that's an incredible number. That's impressive. That's dominant. But like we were saying, that's also why they want to go to the Southwestern League. And I know Nate doesn't want to offend anybody in the Western Slope League, but it's just they have been the rompin' stompin' Godzilla King Kong of that league. And he wants his program to get better and better, to be one of the top 4A programs in the state.
Yeah.
And we've seen that with Ryder Mancuso, Mauricio Perez, and that group that made that deep run at the state tournament here a couple of years ago, that's where he wants his program to be every single year. And you're not going to get there if you go out and beat everybody, score 23 runs in, each game of a doubleheader against fill in the blank, Battle Mountain or whoever.
Battle Mountain, Moffitt County, Glenwood, Rifle. Like, you hope games are close and competitive, but they usually aren't in the Western Slope League for Palisade. Like, they're dominant is an understatement for them. And you're right. That's why they're making this move, because, you know what? Maybe you can learn a thing or two here, one player or another here. But if you have a freshman who goes, 6 for 6, scores 5 runs and drives in 6, what's he really learning that's going to come in handy in the state tournament? Because he's not going to play that way in the state tournament. More than likely, there's going to be a freshman that is going to be, 0 for 2 with maybe a punch out and a little bit overmatched against a higher caliber 4A player. You're not going to be able to learn how to battle, make your in-game adjustments when you're outscoring teams, 10-4.
You got to play better competition.
Yeah, you have to play better competition.
You learn a lot from a loss. I know nobody ever likes to lose, but you're going to learn from playing better competition. Where do we need to improve?
Yeah.
If you just go out and blow everybody out because you're just that much better, what happens when you face a team that is better than you? I mean, they're clearly the best team in the Western Slope League.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even up for debate. And they've been that way for a very long time, going back to when Steve Moore was there. And there just comes a point where you have to go, we've got as much as we can out of this league and playing this level of competition.
Yeah, and last year, they dominated the Western Slope League. Like you mentioned, they've won 30-some-odd games in a row.
35 in a row.
This senior class has lost a conference game.
Yeah.
A singular conference game. They're seniors. Like, they've lost one conference game. And, Frutas kind of got the same role going on right now, but the rest of the league is closer to Fruta than the rest of the Western Slope League is to Palisade. Last year, Palisade outscored everybody in the league 106-34. The year before that, 2022, Palisade allowed 15 runs in 12 league games.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what are you learning there? So I get the move.
Yeah. All right. We've got Jamie Hamilton coming up in just a couple of minutes. Time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Oh, we always talk about the announcer jinx. The announcer curse. You say something that is definitive of one sort or another. Hey, this guy has got a 10-game hitting streak. He goes over. This guy hasn't struck out in 6 weeks. 5 punchies. Well, the Sixers TV crew had one of those in Game 2 against the Knicks.
Getting home court advantage by winning one of the 2 games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Now he splits them. Stay tuned. Post-game live. It's going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle. Despite an incredible effort from Joel and Tyrese tonight, the Knicks go on an 8-0 run to close this game and take a 2-0 series lead with this 104-101 win.
valiant effort from the Sixers. You don't get any moral victories, though, in the NBA, so you still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so for those of you scoring at home, the job's done, let's get down the turnpike happened with the 76ers up 101-96 with 45 seconds left. Sixers lost 104-101. And they're now down 2-0 to the Knicks. So, job's done. Let's get down the turnpike, and then you lose. Good job. The announcer's curse comes for everybody.
You want to pump the brakes on that.
Yeah.
Just pump the brakes on that. Yeah. And Knicks, well, yeah, went 104-101 last night. They lead it 2-0. The Timberwolves beat the Suns 105-93 last night. They lead that series 2-0. Pacers. Bruce Brown and the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Taking down the Bucks last night, 125-108. That series is tied up at a game apiece.
Clippers screwed me, too. I was
did you have
four
parlay?
Points away from a 40-buck parlay win. And they screwed
they
me.
They jobbed you, man.
Yep.
They jobbed you.
I had Wolves, Pacers, Avalanche, Jets over six, and the Clippers. And the Clippers screwed me.
All right, before we take a break, Avs getting the win last night, 5-2. Series is tied up a game apiece. This from Altitude. Quick little bit here from Nathan McKinnon after the win last night.
How valuable has your strong forecheck been on, you know, throwing the Jets off their game, really forcing them to make mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way we're built. Big, fast, heavy forwards. So, you know, it's our job to try to disrupt pucks. And so far, it's been good.
For this group, knowing how strong you've been on home ice this season to get the split on the road, how much extra confidence does it give you now knowing you're heading home?
Yeah, it does. But, I mean, it's, you know, the road is fun in the playoffs, too. It's fun to steal some games and less pressure. So, you know, we need to use the crowd as energy, but, you know, still really focus on our game plan and continue to execute.
All right, so that's Nathan McKinnon, but it was all the other guys that they got it done last night. It was, you know, secondary scoring in a big way last night from guys like Zach Parise, Josh Manson, who definitely atoned for the mistakes he made in game one. Costly turnover near his own crease in the opening period in game one. Was really good last night. A couple of hits, takeaway, big block, and of course got a goal last night for the Avalanche. But a lot of it gets back to Georgiev and him turning it around in a big way last night.
Yeah, he absolutely played much better. Yeah,
survived 11 high danger chances after seeing 7 of those just 2 days before. And he let pretty much all those in game one.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, he just responded really, really well last night. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 7:40, Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, joins us next on the Team Sports Network.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on The Team.
And joining us this morning in studio, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, Jamie Hamilton. Good morning, Jamie. A bright and early, up and ready to go.
You bet. Ready, always ready to talk baseball.
All right, of course. I guess we should start it. Congratulations to the Rockies getting their 6th win last night. Brendan Rodgers with his first ever Grand Slam, and bullpen was really good last night. So at least, if you're a Rockies fan, at least it's better than the White Sox right now.
That's how you look at it. You always got to look at the glass half full, right? Or just happy to have a glass at the table.
Exactly. The table. Yeah. You're not sitting out in the garage. Exactly. You get to actually kind of sit at the adult table, not the card table, out in the garage at Thanksgiving. But yeah, the White Sox just 3 wins. Yikes.
Can they move mid-season? Or is that even allowable?
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, the Nashville, there's an interest there in both parties for maybe the White Sox to move to Nashville. We'll see.
Well, if they had 98 people at a Sunday afternoon game, I think that might leave and nobody would even know.
So. Yeah, they go, wait a minute, where'd the White Sox go? Oh. And would Nashville go, hey, you know what? Why don't you just...
Yeah, you can keep that team.
Can we get the Cubs instead? Can we have the Cubs instead? Of course, we're getting ready for the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series, and a new poll is out this week, and Johnson County Community College out in Kansas, your number one team in the latest JUCO poll, which came out earlier this week.
Yeah, you know, and that program's always been good. We talked about it off air. Kent Shelley was really established that as a powerhouse and retired over the last 2 years and brought on a new coach that had under his wing, and so they're playing well. And we know Kansas; it's it always brings some good baseball and good baseball players here, and they appreciate our community and our tournament because they talk about it to each other because they just play the state of Kansas. So it really is a high water mark for them to come here, and they really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jayhawk Conference is always tough. Dagan Brewer for Johnson County, by the way, the Cavaliers. He's having a heck of a season, hitting .418 right now. He's got 68 RBIs. He's got 14 home runs. He's been a real run producer for that Johnson County baseball team. But you look at Gaston College, who's been here previously, Sean Doty and his Rhinos, Florence Darlington, Georgia Highlands College. Iowa Western was number one. We talked with Ryan Kogel a week or so ago. They've dropped all the way down to fifth after being the number one team. Central Arizona, Northwest Florida State College, Weatherford College, who's been here before, with Jeff Lightfoot, and then Crowder College, Travis Lalleman in that group, and Pima Community College round out your top 10 right now, with Hutchinson Community College, your number 20 team right now in the JUCO poll. So we talked in the last time about tickets going on sale, things like that. Just every time you come in, just always remind people about getting your tickets, because you can never get them too early for the series.
Exactly right. And my understanding in talking with our people that now we're close approaching $200,000 in pre-tournament sales, and we'd get a lot of people buying those tickets the week of. The single game tickets go on sale May 1st, so you can get in there and just pick a game, fireworks night, championship night, do those type of thing. Season passes are on our website. We do have people manning the office down at our building, and banquet tickets, those type of things, to get reserved for those operations. And so it's quite busy right now.
Yeah, banquet ticket sales, coming up next week,
next week,
with
May 1st.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you certainly, of course, we're still waiting for official confirmation on a JUCO banquet
well,
speaker.
Well, I can tell you, he's confirmed.
He's confirmed, so, okay. That's confirmed, but we can't say who it is just yet.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying to be very nice and make sure everybody goes at the same, everybody has the chance to do their volunteer job and get the message out, but it's going to be nice. And next week, I promise you, we'll know.
We'll have it next week. I just know that you're going to love it. I think it's going to be tremendous. Yep. Tremendous get for the speaker this year. We'll leave it at that without just spilling the beans
on
too much. You're going to want to get your tickets for the banquet. So when we talk about other preparations, other things that are going on, what are some things that maybe people don't know about that you do in regard to getting prepared for this Junior College World Series? Things that kind of go maybe under the radar a little bit that are still important things, Jamie, that you have to address?
Well, I mean, it's us. But we really start in January, and our marketing committee gets together, and we're approaching all the sponsors that have been historically with us, and then trying to get some new people to come in and take a look at what we do and how they can promote themselves. And more than anything else, it's just make it a part of the community. As we talked about this before, I mean, it's the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. I actually work at a bank,
right?
So it's not about ownership per se.
It's about community collaboration.
Community collaboration, exactly. That's why you got the facility over there at Stoker and Seplesio Field, and so the other things that we work is that we're out there making sure the hosts. We meet with the host to make sure that the hosts know which hotel they're going to be, and go out to all the people that have helped us over the years at the hotels, and it's unique now because of the growth of Western Colorado and people coming in on Memorial Weekend. Hotels, it used to be they were kind of hungry have our baseball teams at one of their hotels. And now, I mean, it's space is limited because there's other Little League games. There's a rodeo this year that we're working with to collaborate to promote them as they will promote us. And just making sure we have our ducks in a row. Then setting up the hosts, how important they are, as you know that history with them, of making sure they have the communication with the regions that they're going to be working with so they can kind of get out front and talk to at least a couple of those people and let them know who to talk to and who the contact is. Also, we're working on, working with the Hall of Fame inductees. We have to communicate with them. We have to get their jacket sizes. We get their ring sizes, do all those types of things.
Get their videos to you.
Since we've changed that's, thank you for reminding me of that. I may have to check that email out. But to get those produced and sent to our team there so we're ready to go. Working to get the convention center and get those contracts and just renewing contracts and doing those things. And it works, but we touch it every day. And then we're getting people that are emailing us or calling Happened to be in Grand Junction this year because my grandson's graduated from high school. How do we get some tickets? Those type of things. And we make a real special effort that we return those calls.
I mean, absolutely.
Because that's what this is all about, those memories that those people have. We have another family that's been here for 50 years, and they're doing a brief reunion, and they wanted to make sure which hotels was the headquarters was out and those type of things. So we just make sure it's part of the family.
Yeah, every coach that we talk to, I think Buckeye can back me up on this, talked about the relationships they built here with yourself and with Colt and Darren Starr and right. Bruce and Walt and everybody right. and just and people they've met here in town that they've built relationships with and just always a cool thing when we talk to some of those coaches that have been here and yeah. they're like, hey, tell Jamie I said hi or tell so and so I said hi yeah. and it's always cool because that it shows the personal touch that comes with sure. everybody that works in the committee and just the community, even those people that aren't members of the or part of the JUCO committee
oh, yeah.
and just the way this community embraces the event.
Well, when we talk about that, there's people part of the committee. And then when I do get the opportunity to travel and see a coach and they'll ask about a person's name that's not on the committee, but they help them out on a Sunday morning to get something at a store or find an athletic shoe that they didn't know where to get. Just those stories that everybody's empowered to do the best that they can do to create great memories for them. So it's pretty exciting and it's humbling as well because it's who Grand Junction is.
We love leaving that kind of impression with people that it's that we're thrilled to have them here and they're our guests and we want to treat them with a lot of courtesy and respect. And we always, I think, try to do that here in town. Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series with us. The new outfield fence, certainly a nice yes. addition. It was long overdue to right. replace that. And
yeah, we tried to do that before, as you remember.
Yeah.
So I was actually out there the other day. Major League Baseball had a clinic out at Seplesio Field. And so I wanted to see Randy Reddy was instructor. Dennis Rasmussen, who played a number of years in the big leagues and actually with the Angels organization when I was there, and then Lindstrom pitched for the Rockies as well. So I wanted to kind of see the stadium again because we had some problems with the field turf last year, as we were well aware of, and Bayou's out there, and the city's done a great job. They've really focused on it and making sure it's ready to play and presentable, as we talked about with the ESPN Plus, and making sure it really looks good. So the actual signs will be going back up here in the next couple of weeks. Has to have to use a different, with the padding, have to use a different type of attachment. You know, it's not the old painting of the signs that we used
to paint it up on the fence, yeah.
yeah, that we used to do yeah. And those type of things. So looks good, making sure the video board's up and running and just the little cleanups that we need to do to make it presentable for our tournament.
Anything that we need to let people know about? I know, of course, you're still looking for national anthem singers, that kind of thing. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah, we did have the tryouts, and so I think our team is going through those people and extend some invitations for them on that. As far as that right now, is the next couple weeks is getting with the hosts to make sure that they know who their contacts are as people qualify. And then the little things that, again, create memories. We're getting calls from coaches saying, okay, I know the banquet's on that Friday night, yada, 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 but when's the Challenger game? Because we really want to be involved with the Challenger game. And that's kind of unique of what Karma and Kelly Hamilton have put together. Those are memories for student athletes more so than maybe being in the games, is just those partnerships and the buddy system that they put together.
That's become huge, hasn't it? Because we had Miles Coachaver, a Maverick mm-hmm. football coach, on, and his players have been helping out some Challenger games. And just how Miles talked about with me, how rewarding that is for his young men to be out there and be buddies for some of those players.
Yeah, my understanding, Monday night, and I got this story secondhand from my brother, but Monday night was baseball and wrestling team from CMU. And there is a baseball player, and I'm sorry, I don't know his name, that's at Mesa right now, that came and talked to Kelly and Carmen and says, I was here with Cali County, whatever, and that's one of the reasons I chose Mesa to come back to, is what a great program the Challenger program was. So I thought that was pretty unique and pretty neat for what they do and what we've done with that community. And we've talked about it before, a number of those coaches have taken that program and taking it back to their states and try to implement some sort of system similar to that. So that's, and the thing that's unique with 10 teams, they only have four teams that are right. ready. So everybody's fighting for that.
Fighting for those
actually
spots.
Better than the championship trophy. They want to get that one. So, but then we do have the event where Strive helps us then with the other six teams to go have a picnic down by the river, and then we also have a clinic that night. So that Thursday night's quite busy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Always a great kickoff of the weekend of the Junior College World Series at Sam Saplesio Field. And once again, JUCOGJ.org to get your tournament passes. Once again, get them online only.
You have
to occasionally remind people of that. But make sure you go to JUCOGJ.org to get your tickets. Banquet tickets go on sale May 1st. So make sure you get those purchased because they're going to go fast.
There
Looking
you go.
Forward to being out at the banquet again.
Yeah, thank you. Looking forward to you having as the MC. It'll be cool.
Always enjoy it, Jamie. Always have a great time with it. So Jamie Hamilton, chairman of the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. And don't forget, you'll hear every single pitch right here on the Team Sports Network Memorial Day weekend from Grand Junction. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back next hour. Cody Rourke from Mile High Sports, Locked On Broncos podcast will join us. Our Broncos insider, his thoughts about Zach Wilson, the trade for Wilson, the new Bronco uniforms. Get Cody's take on those. And, of course, the draft tomorrow night. Broncos currently sit 12th in the first round. What direction does Cody think the Broncos will go? Will they trade up, try to get J.J. McCarthy? Will they trade back? We'll get his thoughts on that coming up next hour. Right here on the program. It's a Wine About a Wednesday with Talon Wine. If you got something you want to complain about, get your complaint to us today on the team line. 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. This is the Team Sports Network.